to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. So you know what that means. We're back to kickstart your work week. And you've chosen us to hang out with you. We appreciate that. And hopefully it makes your work week a little bit better. It might not. It might. I don't know. But we're glad you're here.
It has to. Here,
yeah. Like it's us.
Well, and you're comparing us against work, so.
I mean,
it seems like a pretty easy choice at that point.
I'd hope so, or else why are you here?
Valid point.
If you're new, welcome. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here, too. Me and Kyle like to talk a little bit at the beginning. If you're not into that, you're going to want to fast forward to about 6 minutes-ish, and we'll be in the crux of the show. And you can hear some weird stuff. But if you like to listen to us talk about like housekeeping things for the podcast, you can hang out here and listen. That being said, today's episode is going to be a little different. Me and Kyle, there's no script. We haven't written anything. We're just going to kind of spitball it a little bit about something that popped up here recently on 4chan. And it's something we've been kind of wanting to talk about, but haven't really got to it. So we're just going to wing it, see how it goes. On that note, check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a fun thing to do. All the cool kids are doing it. It's a good all-around community. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on our Thursday listener experience show, Kyle's got some deets for you.
I do. And you're gonna wanna take note because you'll be famous. AllSkyPodcast@gmail.com. That is the only thing that you need to know to secure you and your lineage's future.
Wow.
That's a lot of weight, right? A lot of responsibility on your shoulders now.
No pressure.
You take that. You put it into the send portion of your email, write your story out, hit the send button. Make sure you got the address right now. Send it over to us. We're going to get it. We're going to mark it, file it, air it. And then fame and fortune, your life will be full of it.
It will. He's not wrong.
I'm not at all. I'm being genuine.
Speaking of fame and fortune, if you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. You can go check out Patreon, and for $7 a month, you get a bunch of extra shows. You get these shows early, these shows ad-free, and also some casket breath jams, some early merch drops, merch coupons, all kinds of good stuff. Good stuff over there. You can also go to HollowSkyPodcast.com. Check out our merch store. We got shirts. We got stickers. We got beanies, hats, all kinds of cool stuff over there. You can grab and rep the Hollow Cult. It's sick and fly. You can support our sponsors. That's a good thing to do because then they keep coming back and wanting to help us. Help us, help them, help you, help us. Circle of life. Also go to where, hold on. Share the show. Share the show. It's the best thing you can do. Keep the show out there. Keep putting the word out. Helps grow the show. Helps move it to more listeners. And with every inch of growth we get, we're closer to the goal of us being able to do this full time and put out a whole bunch more content. We got a lot of ideas in the mix. We just don't have the time for at this point, which we're trying to get there. That's the end goal. Is just taking this bitch to the moon. All right. Hey, Hollow Cult. We are back and excited to announce our continued partnership with Mood. Mood is an online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends, and they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. Mood's mantra is that cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent. But most importantly, they believe in supporting American farmers who make all of this possible. Mood was created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. Mood has gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal, and each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. That's no pesticides, no BS, and they ship to most U.S. states. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I'd mentioned, Hollow Cult listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLLOW. That's H-O-L-O. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use our promo code HOLLOW, that's H-O-L-O, at checkout to save 20% on your first order. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review, and I'll shout you out when I find it. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from Inked Beastie. Beastie says, Devil's Den got me, 5 stars. Normally, I'm super picky about my podcasts. I give every episode 10 minutes, and if it can't hold me, I'm gone. Sorry, not sorry. It's not a hard thing to be interesting with all the information out there. This show got me so bad. I listened to part 2 of Devil's Den twice. I can't wait to check out the other episodes of the show. These guys are great. Most importantly, their parting message. So accurate. Well, Inked Beastie, thanks for the kind words. We're glad that we caught your attention and kept it. Hope you stick around. Glad that you enjoyed what you heard.
Yeah, I feel like our parting message changes quite often. So
it's a little bit for everybody.
Yeah, but it's whatever.
Yeah,
it's still much love. We're glad that we're good enough to stay in the rotation.
I don't remember what my parting message was on that one.
I don't either. Probably it's always a freestyle.
Probably something about aliens being pricks.
There's a thing.
It's fair, right?
Yeah.
On that note, be sure to check out our friends at the podcast Sightings.
What is it about the supernatural that's captivated us for generations? Is it the mysterious allure of the unknown? The heart-pounding thrill of an unexplainable sighting? Or the creeping fear that a life-changing encounter could happen to you? Sightings is the new series that puts you at the center of the world's strangest unexplained events. From Roswell to Amityville to Loch Ness and beyond, each episode combines a never-before-heard story of an infamous supernatural encounter with mind-bending investigations that will leave you questioning what's real and what's impossible. Enter the unexplained with Sightings. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, we're jumping into it. Like I said before, this is going to be a freestyle. Probably a lot of me and Kyle just gibbering back and forth on a specific topic that I kind of came across, but it was also something that I had looked into before, but never got around to doing a full episode on. So we're just going to kind of wing it. Kyle, what are your thoughts on memetic viruses?
I don't know a whole lot about them.
So a memetic virus essentially is something mostly negative that is spread throughout humanity, essentially via media, digital media, like a meme, memetic virus, like you know how a meme spreads around. Oh, got it.
Okay, yeah.
Do you think there's any weight to that? That something
100%.
I kind of feel that way too.
Oh, absolutely. People, for lack of better words, are dumb.
It's true,
and very susceptible, even if they don't realize. they're susceptible because in the case of a meme, you laugh at it or the slightest thing about it catches your attention and it just kind of festers in your brain You know what I mean? And then if you keep seeing said meme, I think like legitimately what starts to happen is you somehow start to reprogram your brain to line with the meme. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And another facet also, if it is something that catches your interest or you find funny, you know, what's the first thing you do?
You share it.
It's a self-spreading virus.
Yeah.
So is it possible that entities, even humans maybe, would be able to manipulate these things to either push some sort of negativity or manipulate the way that we think, manipulate the past? Is that far-fetched to consider?
I don't think so. I think it's not only probable, but it's likely those things, because it's no different than any other type of brainwashing tactics. It kind of like, it's been referenced several times, but it's almost like from the Batman movie with the Riddler, the old school one, where you put the thing on top of your TV and it shoots a beam into your head and it starts to brainwash you and take you over, type of thing.
And digital media is such a huge part of everybody's lives now.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's unavoidable.
It is a lot of people's lives at this point.
100%. Most people don't even have regular TV anymore.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have regular, real life, in life friends.
Also true.
Which is wild. It's wild.
Concerning. It's concerning. It's
a sign of the times. That being said, there was something that I had been looking into. I saw it a lot on like conspiracy theory icebergs and in different like conspiracy theory urban legend forums. And I wanted to talk about it. There wasn't a whole lot of meat to it. There were some things, but not enough to really get a show out of. But I'm going to try to connect some things together. And this particular, I don't even know what you would call it, theory is called, the name is funny, but it also kind of has a kind of a gross context to it, but it's called a solar plexus clown glider. So the solar plexus clown glider, SPCG, is the collective name given to a broad range of paranormal phenomena attributed to a corruptive entity which infects weak and vulnerable people through the solar plexus chakra. Originally used by 80s New Age practitioners, the phenomena was linked to a horror-themed email forwardable in the late 90s, which claimed that simply reading or hearing the words solar plexus clown glider made one susceptible to infection. Others claim that one became infected through viewing a set of spooky black and white images circulating online. Rather than a material cryptid, SPCG is an ephemeral and operates at a level of language. It makes itself known through images and words. The SPCG appears to feed off human misery, bombarding its host humans with realistic hallucinations, glitches in reality, and weakening them emotionally. Then they simply drive the host beyond their fullest capacity for psychological pain. The sickness that comes with SPCG contact is described as similar to meth addicts' experience of withdrawal and paranoia symptoms, up to and including near constant full-body hallucinatory experiences and actual psychosis. The reported effects are similar to delirium states. So this particular horror-themed image that goes with it, it's a weird picture. It kind of looks like a jump scare picture that was like popular in the early 2000s. It's like this white face and it's almost got like a jester's crown on it. Like it's unnerving, but a lot of them are attributed to quote unquote, like internet cursed pictures. And, I didn't realize that just saying it could pass it on. So I apologize to everyone listening. Sorry. We're all infected now. My bad.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
But background for the particular like infection here, according to obscure and legend fandom.com, according to Hindu culture, the solar plexus harbors both positive and lower negative emotions. This chakra, one of the seven main ones, is also center of perseverance and the desire to win, as well as anger, irritation, hate, envy, greed, destructiveness, violence, cruelty, resentment, worry, anxiety, fear, selfishness, aggressiveness, and more. The idea that a possible demonic force, which literally feeds off these negative emotions, is widespread throughout the world in a variety of contexts outside of chakra cleansing. And it was this context that the phrase was first used in New Age circles during the 80s. No trace of the phrase can be found prior to the 90s mail art movement. It was speculated that the phrase was engineered by a possible CIA experiment in mind control, as those who repeated them often reported a feeling of an unseen presence or of encroaching cold or darkness. Similar experiments were attempted as part of the MK Ultra experiments. Known suspected victims include Dead Rabbit Radio podcast host Jason Carpenter, who saw what he described as a giant cobra rise and slither down the aisles of a courtroom. After this experience, which was tinged with anxiety already, Carpenter described his mood and quality of life taking a serious decline. It was only later, after researching the topic of solar plexus clown gliders, that he speculated that the experience was related. He considers the SPCG to be a mimetic parasite, which exists only to spread human suffering. As I was researching, I started to see a lot of people post about it on Reddit, and Jason was actually on the Reddit threads talking about some of his encounters. He said he has about 5 podcast episodes on Dead Rabbit Radio where he talks about how negatively whatever this thing that was attached to him affected his life. It's pretty wild that something as simple as like hearing a phrase or seeing a photo can unleash something of such negative context on to a person's life.
But is it though? Because if you think about it, it's no different. Like everything that you were describing to me sounds exactly like demonic oppression or possession.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've read cases and seen cases where people have just seen imagery and that kind of invites a spirit to latch on to them and start creating chaos. Not to mention, maybe it's not just about seeing the specific image. Maybe it's more about believing in the specific image.
I was going to ask that. If you think like putting more thought and intent into it gives it more power, which I mean, assumedly it would, because that's how like everything works, right?
Or look at it through the lens of not. It's not giving that image or deity or whatever the fuck it is more power. What if it's simply about opening the door? Letting it in. You know what I'm saying? Instead of maybe it doesn't need the structured belief and power system that we would attribute to, you know, Saturn or God or anything like that. Maybe it's more about, it's almost like a vampire knocking at the door.
Just
you choosing to let it to come in.
Showing the weakness in your armor.
Yeah.
That sucks. And could negative entities, demons or whatever, use these things to essentially spread suffering and sorrow throughout humanity?
I think so.
It would be interesting to talk to Jason to see where he thought. Like, I need to listen to the show because he said he's done probably 5 episodes on things that have happened, where he thinks this manifested from, where it started. Like, did he see something or did he hear something? Because it's very much just, if hearing a phrase is almost like a curse, right? Or like a spell. You hear it and then it starts. Which is, it's interesting to me.
And I think it's funny because on our last episode, we talk about, I'm surprised we've never really talked about this before, but we talked about how the UFO phenomenon kind of morphs with the time. Who's to say evil and demonic forces don't do the same?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Good call.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, good call. Because like, what's the best way to spread things like that as opposed to digital media?
Oh.
You know, because I said it started in the 90s with chain emails, which everybody, anybody who was of age to be on the internet then knows exactly what that is.
And then think about it too. So I'm sure there, I would almost put money that there are people listening right now that are like, yeah, right, you guys are dumb. Valid point. However,
fair.
If you believe in the possibility and probability that demonic possession occurs on this planet and it is happening, it is here. Well, I would assume that a demonically possessed person can get on the internet. Therefore, who's to say they can't create an image that is specifically designed to infect others? You know what I mean? And by today's standard and market, that is the most efficient.
Spreads itself. Self-spreading violence. Dude. And who's to say
why would a demonic entity, a demonic force, not use that ability?
That's what I was going to say. Like it's easy. We do, like, we are the host and we are the little worker bee that does it for them. And who's to say what confines these negative entities can work in? Like, who's to say, oh no, they can't do that, they wouldn't do that? Get the fuck out of here. You don't know nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now talking about like manifestations. As per the most well-known image, the name SPCG has occasionally physically manifested as a demonic jester figure, but its form is ultimately fluid, capable of infiltrating, deforming any visual surface once it has enough power over its victim. Its body is often said to resemble oozing forms of slugs or snakes, which Jason said he saw a cobra, which is interesting. It can often appear to be made of a substance outside of the normal laws of three dimensions, similar to the stick men. However, attributing any specific form to this entity is meaningless, as it is ultimately not reducible to its hallucinatory contents, but the rumored effect of a phrase engineered to trigger mental deterioration. Alternately, there's also a supposed set of black and white images, of which only one is now in circulation, which achieve the same effect of madness. Other tellings implicate a special frequency associated with the SPCG. So just reading that, this also kind of links back to the despair code. Remember when we did that episode? That's an old episode. I almost like to revisit that, where hearing a specific set of notes or a specific lyrics to a song can activate something in the brain to set people in such a state of depression, of just despair, that they ultimately end up unaliving themselves. And the most classic example is Gloomy Sunday. I forget who sings it, but I'm about to find out. People attribute that to like a suicide song. And
bro, it's the evolution of time right there.
Billie Holiday, Gloomy Sunday.
It's the evolution of time. Because back then, what was the most influential thing out there?
Radio. Well, music. Music, yeah.
Music. And now what do we have? Now it's the internet.
It's weird. It's
evolution. Evolution. And prior to that, go back even farther. What was more prevalent back then? Writing. Scripture, writing, all that jazz. And that's when you had the big focus on spell books and so on and so forth.
And like what form, like especially then, what form of media evoked more emotion than music? Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, what it's better still way? It's still an incredibly powerful tool.
Yeah. What better way to just get into someone's emotions?
I do feel like in today, I mean, it makes sense. Because I do feel like in today's market, believe it or not, I don't feel like music is as listened to as it was, say, 10 years ago.
I would believe that. It's taken in differently.
I think podcasts have completely dominated that the ear space market.
I agree.
I think podcasts have just annihilated the market. And I'm not saying that music is not still listened to, because it of course is. I just don't think it's as listened to as it once was, say, 10 years ago. Because when we were kids, it was music all day, every day.
Yep.
You know, we didn't give a fuck about talk radio.
No, it is taken in very, very much differently.
And then, you know, you even look at the adults in our lives. They listen to music. You might have had a morning show they listened to once in a while, but that was it.
Yeah.
I feel like once again, it kind of proves our little thing of evolution.
That's interesting. It's interesting catch there. It does. It just moves with the time, which is.
I think it's the most practical. It makes the most sense. You are going to utilize the tools that you have in front of you.
As I'm going to stick with the solar plexus clown glider here for a little bit before I move on to the next little weird tidbit that we're going to talk about. But here is the supposed history of these things. It's been suggested that the SPCG is an example of early internet legend boosted by a Trojan virus code by the same name, which gained quick recognition. It was an early jump scare prank, only especially cruel as the code could wait indefinitely to suddenly flash a scary face on screen at any random time, terrifying users oblivious that their home PC is now infected. It has been suggested that urban legends surrounding the SPCG were spread in the wake of the virus, or by the creator to further cement the effect of the computer being haunted. To this extent, SPCG myths appeared out at a critical juncture in the ostentation myths with the digital in mind. Ostentation is when individuals or groups act out folkloric scenarios, reenacting a tradition. An example of this ostentation myth, familiar across generations, is the Bloody Mary routine. Stand in front of a mirror, say her name so many times, and she will appear. SPCG was further informed by a sturdy pre-established frame of sci-fi and comedy stories about mimetic phenomenon that kill anyone who is exposed, such as neuron-collapsing images known as basilisks in The Blit by David Langford, an image of a fractal called the Parrot with text ripped from Langford's story, claiming that the image will kill all who view it, circulated around the same time as SPCG's mimetic images and phrases. In music, which is interesting, and we talked about it, horrorcore rap artist, there's words I never thought I'd say, Tulpa Drip includes a song based on a myth on their 2020 album, The Exorcist. Screamo band Demio's Crown officially released a song with the title Solar Plexus Clown Gliders that explores the legend in 2021. A 2020 issue of a literary zine, Pinecone, contains poetry by Alexander Williams, named after SPCG, which includes mantric repletion, repletition, R-E-P-L-E-T, repletition, mantric repletition of the phrase throughout the song. So essentially just kind of touching on other digital media that's kind of pushing this thing. They have a little.
I think it's interesting too how it starts as an image that infects a computer.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because it's like marketing to a degree, because we as people, like Steve, say you made an image, and the way my brain is equating it is like a short horror story. We all know what those are.
Yeah.
But imagine that you create that one image that's the perfect jump scare. And by all accounts, that image that you created, you undertoned it with some type of demonic undertones, whether it's infestation or possession or oppression, whatever it is, you create that. And it's this one special image that can't be created because people aren't demons. But as it circulates, as the rumor mill starts turning and churning, people replicate that image. They want to make their own because they want to be the next sensation. And so all these different images start to flood the market. However, what ends up happening is the original, what would be considered creepypasta, the original internet story behind the demonic image that you made, is still out there. It's still undertoned. So what's going to happen is people are going to, they're going to hunt. Now they're hunting for the original image. They want, if you look, how many times have we seen that bullshit in our lives? If you watch this image, or no, you don't send this chain mail to three people, you're going to die.
Yep.
And they're for some reason, we have this ignorant section of our brain that goes,
oh shit.
Yeah, right. Let me try it.
Yep.
I'm not going to send it to three people. Fuck that. I want to see if it's true. And so we for some reason, we set out for it. We look for it. We actively look for it, which is going to increase. Even though the market is now saturated, it's still going to increase the odds as to the people that see that original cursed demonic image, right?
Yeah.
Because you're having 10, 20, 30 fold people actively looking for the image, whereas before you're just relying on it making its rounds, doing its thing.
And if it feeds off of spreading, and feeds off of like attention, now you have more people looking into it.
Yeah.
And putting more intention into it, giving it more energy. And as we all know, with like how memes work, they go in waves. Like a meme will fall off for years and then make its way back through, roll right back through again. So it is digital media is a perfect vessel for whatever, for anything, essentially.
Absolutely.
Like we know how easy it is to manipulate news sources and shit via digital media. This is no different than that. There are some theories posted here that I'll talk about and we can kind of touch on. Number one, an interdimensional demon which activates in the solar plexus region. This was the original meaning of the term used by New Age practitioners, notably chakra healers and transcendental meditation advocates in the late 80s, early 90s. I feel like that could very well, you know, be something behind some of this stuff being pushed, because like, especially now in the age of AI, like look at Loeb. Like Loeb created herself out of nothing and then essentially went everywhere. And now you don't hear anything about her again. Mm-hmm. It's like it just waves. Is it a military, scientific, or underground project to create a mimetic brain deteriorating weapon? as they talked about possible MK.
That's a fair example.
Yeah, MK Ultra, kind of similar things where a specific phrase is heard and it will like unlock those feelings and those parts of your brain.
But see, here's my opposition to that. And it's not really opposition, it's just a point that I'm going to make. In my opinion, the first and second example you have given are two in the same. Right? So and what I mean by that is you have, whether it's a demon or the government, they're both creating something for almost the identical end goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the root cause is the root cause. That may have variances to it, but at the end of the day, both of them are capable and willing to create something for this end goal that they're both trying to achieve, good. Essentially.
Good call. Good call. Some others here. American film director David Lynch, who explored the popular occult circuit at the time in his career, would go on to write extensively about a very similar entity or psychosis or psychic illness. He calls it, capitalizing each word like SPCG, the suffocating rubber clown suit of negativity, and describes it in ways which almost correspond perfectly with the SPCG legend. I haven't looked that up yet. The suffocating rubber clown suit of negativity. Let's see what that's about.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. Suffocating rubber clown suit of negativity. There it is, popped up. Let me look here. So, according to David Lynch, recently I've been trying to put a finger onto a feeling, actually by doing more of my own work, and regularly showing it to people. I've been poking that feeling pretty hard. I guess I want to coax it into the light. The feeling lurks behind a lot of what I do. It spoils, it hampers, it says nasty things. I've started calling this feeling my little monster, my nightmare, my limit. David Lynch has another name for the feeling. He calls it, capitalizing each word for the effect, suffocating rubber clown suit of negativity. Lynch talks about how in 1973 he started meditating in order to deal with persistent negative thoughts. Prior to this, he explained, I was filled with anxieties and fears. I felt a sense of depression and anger. I often took this anger out on my first wife. I call that anger and depression the suffocating rubber clown suit of negativity. It's suffocating and the rubber stinks. But once you start meditating and divining within, the clown suit starts to dissolve. You finally realize how putrid the stink was when it starts to go. So just like, I guess we all can kind of relate to that, getting in those head spaces where you're just like, so negative about everything, mm-hmm. that can be weaponized and spread. Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. It's a lot like demonic oppression.
Yes.
And essentially
imagine weaponized demonic oppression. That's it's crazy.
Sucks.
Some other theories is it's a hoax or a misremembered jump scare. It's just a stupid edited photo of a guy in a Burger King crown, because they're like, this particular one's talking about the photo, like spreading the stuff. But anyway, there are some accounts here I'll read. I am. Here's one from a quote from Jason Carpenter, the host of Dead Rabbit Radio. He says, so when I was in college, I had an assignment. I had to sit in a courthouse, watch a trial, and take notes. I'm sitting in the back because I'm too cool to sit in the front, sitting with one of those orange plastic chairs. I had my arm up on the chair, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye, my right eye, and I'm alone in the back row, just me, and I'm sitting there right in the aisle, and I'm sitting there. And I remember turning to look, and then the chair, maybe two or three chairs down from me, there was a 3-foot-long cobra. It was coiled at the bottom, and its head was about the height of me. It made this super weird movement, almost like this hyper-animated movement, that I don't think a snake can move in real life. Now, obviously, there was not a real cobra sitting there. I just looked over and saw it, and it was such a weird thing. And at the time, I thought, like, it was super weird. It was early in the morning. I was bored. I see something out of the corner of my eye, and my brain constructs something for me to see. Now, here's another weird thing. It disappeared. It didn't disappear, like dissipate. It simply ceased to be there. It was all really weird at the time, and it just stopped being there. Again, I would like to talk to him about exactly how that came about. Here's an anonymous one from 2020. So about the solar plexus clown shit. I've had contact with the entity back when I was 18 and did LSD for the first time. At the time, I thought it was just some weird trip, but after reading about SPCG, it's crazy, man. So basically, I took around 100 milligrams of this blue gelatinous LSD shit at around 2 p.m. on a school night. Anyway, I was chilling up until it started to get late. By the way, I was doing it all completely all wrong. No trip, buddy. Just by myself. Not in any way respecting the drug, not a spiritual setting, just listening to music in my room and scrolling Twitter. I start to become pretty annoyed at this point because it's like 1 a.m. I'm a star athlete. Star athletes are supposed to have their 8 hours of sleep. I close my eyes. A jet stream of visions bombard my third eye. Then nothing. Void. A buttery orange backdrop manifests around where my disembodied spirit now stands. I'm in some sort of desert, I think. I pan this surrounding, and I see what I immediately know to be a carnival. Think Avery Island cover art. I'm not sure what they're referring to there, but as I'm panning, standing directly in front of me is a clown. Just a clown. Maybe a little spooky looking with his ear-to-ear grin, but just a clown. He only stands in front and watches me. Nothing happens. The vision fades, and I'm back in me. It's now 5. I call out sick. Didn't know what I saw or if it was anything worth even remembering up until recently. Some call him the gatekeeper. Some say he's actually Loki, a jester in Court Motley. Maybe it's a fallen angel, an interloper residing in the in-between. Which that's what Loeb was referred to as sometimes was an interloper residing in the in-between.
Yeah.
It's weird. All that being said, to bring us to this thing that I stumbled on this week from 4chan. I know how you guys love when I go down these 4chan rabbit holes, right? Everybody's super stoked, I'm sure. So I come across somebody talking about this post that happened on April 4th of this year. And it's just a picture of a man in pajamas, and he's just standing in a weird, awkward pose. It almost like it doesn't feel right. Like, you know, when you look at something and something's just off enough about it that you're like, this is bizarre. The only thing that was posted with this picture and the like title of the picture, the edited picture says RoyJPJS.jpg. And the only thing that was said was, this is a demon writing itself into retroactively, or this is a demon writing itself retroactively into pop culture history. You'll think this is a shit post, but you'll remember him from your childhood soon enough. Which in itself is very ominous.
Yeah.
And creepy. Of course, this kind of started to take a life of its own on 4chan. People immediately started trying to find this picture and search up who this Roy J guy is on April 4th. As soon as this thing started breaking, they ran it through AI recognition. Came up, no AI detected on this photo. They also couldn't find anything. They couldn't find any trace of the photo online, and they couldn't find anything about Roy, this Roy J character. Nothing. No Wikipedia, no nothing. So they're like, this is weird. The next day comes about and people are still searching. All of a sudden, photos of this guy are starting to be found. And each one of them, he's in like a weird pair of pajamas, which they say is kind of like sort of important with like this thing waking up, being in your PJs, you know? So they're starting to find more and more photos of this guy in pajamas. People are like, okay, that's weird.
Then did anybody date the photos or videos or anything?
Eventually, because you gotta keep in mind that when they started looking, they couldn't find any trace of this guy, which is exactly what the post said it would do. It would go retroactively and place itself into media that we would eventually find and eventually remember.
Because naturally, people are going to say, well, maybe somebody AI'd photos and video to make it appear like he's almost like some type of big ARG unfolding before your eyes.
And that's what a lot of people thought.
Yeah.
Because as these photos are popping up, people are running them through AI. Like those AI programs can, like, because you can run it through these programs and figure out whether something's AI or not. It's pretty right. easy catching them. So a lot of these photos are coming up not AI generated. They're original from somewhere. And then, like, I wish I could share photos on here, but they actually have a person that ran it through an AI generator, and they said, we're quite confident that no AI was used when producing this image. So the next day, people keep searching after they find multiple photos of this guy. As they're searching, all like the photos of him in his pajamas start to disappear off the internet outside of the people that saved them. Now the photos they're finding of this Roy J are him in like prison garb get up. So they're equating that to him breaking free of the chains, breaking out.
Which makes sense. And it is weird too. That's a lot of thought process if it's an ARG to vaguely make references to waking up and breaking free.
Yeah.
It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it sucks.
Because normal people aren't going to think like that. Normal people are going to look at it and be like, this is some idiot in pajamas. This is some idiot in a prison outfit.
Yep. So that's 2 days later. So it's the 6th. All of a sudden, a Wikipedia pops up. There's a Wikipedia on Roy J. He is an obscure British comedian from the 80s who kind of faded off into nothing and died in the early 2000s. They said he had this weird, spooky style of comedy where he moved like almost not human like, which kind of lends to Jason Carpenter's description of the way the snake moved. Like it's not fluid, not human. And YouTube videos start popping up of this guy's comedy routine. And the YouTube videos are old. They're post-dated. Like April 6, 2025. Some of them are like 11, 12, 15 years old YouTube videos that no one could find when they initially started searching Roy J. Which that in itself is pretty fucking weird. He starts to show up in commercials. There's an old Schweppes commercial where it's got like the Schweppes ginger ale and club soda. It's got a bunch of people dancing in the background. And he's just in the middle of the commercial walking around, like doing this, like he has a weird, like Robin Williams-esque kind of comedy. He's just kind of walking around, talking to the camera. And the name of the commercial on YouTube is Dance Party and Strange Prisoner. Which is...
sounds normal.
Yeah, it's fucking bizarre. And as people are going on, and they keep going, they're finding more and more images and correlations that Roy J was a real person. Like he actually existed as a British comedian.
Anybody ever go find his headstone?
I don't know yet. Not as of now. I said
that'd be the play.
Yeah. People are posting. They're like, oh, cool. All the images on the internet have switched from wearing a costume representing sleeping to a costume representing a prison break. Can't even find the original sleepwalker picture anywhere. They're like, I'm sure this is all nothing. Don't worry about it, everyone. Someone says, because he's not sleeping anymore. He's awake and he's out from his prison. Now people are posting the YouTube videos. Now he's injecting himself into old commercials. So people are actually looking for the original Schweppes commercial to see if he was in it, and they can't find it because now he's in all of them as if he was always there. Now people are coming forward and saying that they completely remember him being a British comedian from the late 80s, which at first no one knew who the fuck he was. And just like that's kind of the crux that this thing has. People are finding more and more media of him in it. And it just kind of made me think, like, are these things, like we talked about it evolving now, are they able to go back and insert themselves into media that we'd already experienced? And what are the connotations for that? Like the Mandela effect and shit. Are these entities able to go back and manipulate history, essentially? Like, I know, like, a Schweppes commercial is not history, but it is history because it had existed, and now it's putting itself in there for whatever reason the end game in it is so weird. Like, why retroactively, like, put yourself in here? I don't know. It's fucking weird.
It is weird. I can't think of why it needs to go back and place itself within media, other than it being like some type of creation story
or is it like flexing that like it can legitimately manipulate things that we think we know? Because if it can do that, to what end would it stop? Because now you have people remembering it. Like one person said, this guy was my favorite comedian growing up. I remember going to all his movies. My favorite was the one where he saved Christmas and had a talking donkey sidekick. It was a little cliche, but to young me, it was gold. Thank you for sharing this. And if this did comedy that's on the internet and made movies, why was it so hard for people to find it when this first dropped?
You know what this feels like to me? It feels like, this is what it truly feels like to me. Proof of concept. Weigh that however you want, but to me it feels like proof of concept. Someone or something created something for a specific reason, and I feel like this is the proof of concept. And it almost makes me feel like it's got to be one or two things. Some type of government mind manipulation tactic, or, and I don't know how it quite plays out in my head, but is it the actual spawning of a negative entity? And like you were saying, to what end? why go through all these hoops?
It's,
unless it needs the power of belief to give it strength enough to break out. Because it is kind of ironic how it started. It's like a snowball, the way it starts, right? It starts small and then it picks up steam, gets a little bigger, and then it starts. Then again, is it, now that, because we talked about a little bit earlier about it's not really affecting the past, it's affecting your perception of the past, but I think I may have actually been wrong when I said that, because once it got to a point that it starts interjecting itself into past videos, it actually does manipulate the past, because now you have people who remember seeing them. Like the guy saying, this is my favorite comedian growing up.
Yeah.
So did it legitimately affect the past, or did it solely affect the person's perception of the past in a way that fogs or infects their memory? And then, to be fair too, maybe I'm not wrong. Maybe it is just the perception, because you think about it, it starts as a picture, then it goes to mold. It's like an evolution pattern again.
Yes. And it warned us.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy, because I'm thinking about it. It starts as like a picture, multiple pictures, video, and now it seems to be in people's minds.
Yeah.
Like it had its own evolutionary process.
Dude, and it said the bottom warning was, you'll remember him from your childhood soon enough. And then people start coming forward 3, 4, 5 days later, like, yeah, I do remember him. He was my favorite comedian. Well, it's weird that somebody's favorite comedian didn't exist on the goddamn internet 3 days ago. And now people are putting more energy into it. And
I would assume that a lot of these people, internet good.
Yeah. Like, okay, here's another post here on they're calling it like Roygate. Says an anonymous post on a thread, April 4th, 2025, titled, "This is a demon writing itself retroactively into pop culture history," with an image of a man in pajamas. The original poster explains, "You'll remember him from your childhood soon enough." Anons begin searching for Roy J. There's no Wikipedia, no image results, no nothing. Within a couple days, Roy J. content flooding the internet, and Anon searchers begin finding increasingly older references. So it's also going further and further back in time. Older references.
Which is weird.
It is weird. He suddenly has a Wikipedia page, photos, TV spots, albums, even a Facebook fan page now. Much of the content is bizarre. Stories range from Roy flashing a family crowd his giant penis to deep frying a slipper while working in a fast food van and working naked in the van from the waist down. Replies to Roy's content online seem overwhelmingly fake. Odd profiles of dubious real people all claiming to have known Roy personally. An Anon bought and provided photos of a vinyl and news clippings, both potentially proving that Roy J's past existence here on Earth. A different Anon emailed the crematorium where Roy's funeral was supposedly held at based on information found online, only to be told there is no record of Roy J's funeral there. Many new photos have emerged on Roy's Facebook page, despite not being there when investigation started weeks ago. A YouTuber named Grayman released a video briefly explaining the current circumstances, only to be bombarded by more NPC profiles claiming to have known Roy personally. The content continues to grow, with more evidence of Roy's existence popping up every day.
It's a hard one to wrap, like, to chase down mentally.
Yeah.
Because it could be a powerful AI program doing all this. But it's also hard to get. I would imagine it's expensive and time consuming as fuck to completely wipe the internet of something and then inject it.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, the crazy part is that nobody could find him.
Yeah.
And then now it's everywhere.
So I don't feel like that would be that easy.
No, you wouldn't think so. The internet's vast. Yeah. People say once it's on the internet, it's on the internet forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it would be that easy just to like a light switch it. Like, oh, today we're not going to allow searches of Roy, but tomorrow we will.
And the fact that the more people look into it, the more it grows. It's like,
it is crazy that it keeps going back further and further into the past.
Yeah. It's like, I don't have any solution to it. I just want to share it with you guys. Fucking weird.
If it is a real demon, And the more it infects, the farther back it goes in time, the more powerful it'll get.
Yeah.
Because if that's real, it could essentially turn itself into an ancient being.
Yeah.
In a matter of a couple months.
At what point does it move from digital? Like, apparently it's already moved from digital media because people have bought in records with him on it. At what point does he start showing up in the fucking Last Supper on paintings and in museums and shit? Like, if that's possible.
That would fuck me up.
Like Egyptian hieroglyphics has Roy J in it. It's crazy.
That would blow my mind.
That'd be awesome.
Because I know for a fact I haven't seen that imagery anywhere. No, I haven't. So if it starts popping up in random life, that's going to be fucking weird.
Because essentially, once that was posted, nobody could even find photos of him. And now there's commercials and movies and albums and YouTube videos, and it's weird. I just thought we'd spitball it and see what the Hall cult thought about.
I'd be curious to see what Discord has to say about it.
I know people are going to come forward and be like, yeah, I remember him. I remember watching him. He was my parents' favorite. I can already feel it.
Yeah, because when I edit the video, I'll try to put a picture of him. Or we could use it as show art, too.
Yeah, I'll send you some.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Yeah. Again, we're just winging it today. Hope you guys... I'm curious your thoughts. I know that it's kind of out there, but we don't even know what the fuck is real anymore, Holocult. So thanks for hanging out with us this Monday. Hit us up on the socials, email us, let us know your thoughts on old emetic demons and technomancy here. So check us out all our socials, and until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and remember, your history is not set in stone as much as you think it is.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.